your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, September 11th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today. I know we promised a listener yesterday that we'll have a discussion about the on-the-street shops, right? We're going to have that discussion. We also, I want to continue that discussion about Junkanoo, so we'll have that discussion too. If not complete, be able to do that today, we'll definitely do it tomorrow. But before we do that, we have actually a guest in studio. We're excited to have the guest because the guest is family. We have Miss Trishawn Hannah, who's an author, right? She just recently published her new book, and we said we're going to give her some time to go in some detail about what the book is about. And definitely Trishawn Hannah is part of our Hannah Hasty Tynes clan. We said we're going to make space, explore the book, make sure people know that the book exists and where to go and purchase it, right? So we're going to do that. And then we're going to, as we transition, we're going to go into those topics that we promised to have a discussion about. But before we start, we want to formally introduce Trishawn Hannah. And I hope I pronounced your first name. Trishawn?
Yes, yes.
Oh, good.
Trishawn.
I have Thai tongue, so you know.
Yeah, that's all right.
I just mash up people's name.
That's all
right. Right? That's why it's called people by their last name. It's just easier to pronounce, mm-hmm. Right? We want to know a little bit about you. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get into details on why you decided to publish a book, whether it's your first book or whatever. But we want to have a narrative of who is Trishawn Hannah.
And
then, like, what do you do? And then why you decided to write a children's book?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, good morning, Bahamas. My name is Trishawn Hannah. For those who may not know, I do also have a talk show called Your Lane with Coach Trish Hannah that airs on Sundays right here on Guardian 96.9 FM. I am a wife of 17 years to an amazing, amazing king. I am a mother of three beautiful children. I am also an account executive here at the Nassau Guardian Media Company, and I am a coach. I am a relationship coach, a life coach, and now a new author. Now, the reason why, your next question was why did I wrote the book? Well, if I can narrow it down for you. I never thought about this. This is never something that I'd planned. I always was intrigued with dreaming. I've been dreaming from the time I knew myself, but I never really was one to say, okay, well, let me get more into it until about when I was in my late 30s. Now, prior to that, I used to do a lot of journaling. I would write down dreams that I recall, and it would all happen throughout the day. So as I was going through, I think the last 2 years or so, you know, I was asking God, what can I give back to you? That was my question to him. How can I be creative? What is it that you desire? And so that same, desire that I thought, that I never really thought that I can actually use, was cultivated in, you know, talking about dreams, bringing children and allowing them to be aware of their dreams, but most importantly, allowing parents to know the importance of the dreams. Now, once again, I'm a marriage coach or a relationship coach.
I was wondering why you didn't start off your first book with that. But go ahead.
Well, no, and that's the thing, because I actually have a book, you know, in the making. And that's the one of the questions I asked. I was like, well, so how you get me in? I tell him God this, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, it's family. It's still family. We get to the core of the children, then we don't have to do the same, that have that same generational curse, that bloodline curse. It ain't got to be the same cycles over and over again. If we could just pay attention to our children, then we ain't got to worry about what's wrong with these children and this country and da, da, da. If we could just start now, then we don't have to worry about tomorrow.
So let's talk about the book.
Yeah.
It's a journal.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if it's a journal, that means I could write inside the book.
Yes. Not only can you, well, not you. But I mean, not only can the child write in the book, the child can also draw in the book. Because you have some children who may say, okay, I don't know how to articulate this monster I see. I don't know how to write out this angel. Or I don't know how to, you know, whatever some visuals that they may have as they go through the dream. So we say, okay, well, here's this blank information here, space here in the book. Then you draw it.
You create the parents... companion dream journal. I buy in a children's dream journal and I'm journaling with my kids, right?
Yes.
So I, because it may be new, yes. A new process for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, here's your book, here's my book,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I also want to make them comfortable with me looking at their thoughts, right?
Right.
As they write them down.
Yeah.
So I say, I have a journal. It's mm-hmm. something that I'm doing as well. It's not because something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we're going to do to make sure that we stay healthy.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, in this, the book actually teaches us as parents how to help the children as they write the book. You don't want to pressure them because we know how some Bahamians go. As soon as they get information, don't just try to jam whatever knowledge that they have to put on their children. We ain't like this. We ain't going with Johnny had 10 apples. We ain't going with that type of patience.
I went through that.
We want to be as patient as possible. And when we ask them these questions, you know, you're going to ask, what did you dream last night?
Let's backtrack.
Yeah.
Because I the title of the book is Children's Dream Journal.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that it's a journal about the children's dream?
That's correct.
So why did you decide to do that? And then which age bracket is this targeted towards?
That's a good question. Well, I did this based on obedience, like I said before, because yes, I could have written or published the book with marriages and relationships, etc., which is on the way. But this is what was placed within me to do. All right, so I'm going ahead with that. And this particular book ranges from at the moment your child is able to articulate their feelings pertaining to their dreams, because you have some children who dream and they could tell you about it from age 3, right? And then we end at about 12 years old, and that's because there's a part 2 for the teenagers.
So walk me through it. I have an...
Or before we go there,
go ahead.
Yeah.
The purpose for the practice, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's a practice. Mm-hmm. It's an everyday practice that you're going to sort of inculcate into your kids
mm-hmm.
of the practice.
I love that. These are some juicy questions, you know. Mm-hmm. The purpose of this is, one, we want to know what our children's destiny may entail. Everything is spiritual. You don't want, as parents, to just focus on the academics or focus on them with the athletic abilities or capabilities or whatever it is that they may have. We want to also focus on them spiritually. Now, God speaks to children in their dreams. That's one of the many ways that he communicates, right? So this is just primarily one issue or area that he chose me, that I'm just a steward, to highlight, to identify this particular thing with him speaking to our children so that we could pay attention to it. One. Secondly, you have some children who are unable to express how they feel with their parents. Mm-hmm. Okay? You have some children who go through things. They go through fear. They go through bullying at school. They go through all these different things. When your child is able to come to you, are you able to read their journal? Because, of course, you would want to share it with them. You're able to identify some things, symbols within their dreams, and I'll talk about that in a minute, that can identify that something. They may be going through some issues. And so all of that can be identified with them just listening. And thirdly, it's a time to bond. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for you to bond with your children. We're so caught up with working. We're so caught up with our ministries. We're so caught up with all these other things that we neglect to communicate with our children. This could be something late at night or first thing in the morning. So it's a wonderful conversation for me and my children when we head off to school.
So it's a spiritual development tool that enables parents to create a growing and learning space for the child as an individual, but also for the family unit, for the parent-child relationship. So you walk in the child through a sort of a spiritual journey.
It is.
But in that process, like you said, by sitting with them and reflecting on what came up in their dreams, mm-hmm. you may be able to identify.
You can definitely.
That there may be a bully.
Something's right. Something's not right.
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 Whether you could pinpoint it or not, you know that there's something that needs to be addressed.
Addressed. That's correct.
Okay. I want you to also describe the book. I see it's a hard copy mm-hmm. book.
Open it. So you can. Okay. Yeah. So within the book, of course, the book was forwarded by Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing. He's based in Freeport. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Mm. He's a wonderful pastor.
Yes, he talks Church about dreams.
Come on. Yes. All right.
You Church Island people, miss?
No, I ain't Church Island people. But I already.
I got cousins everywhere.
I just know the Ewins.
Listen, they y'all like family, but yeah. I don't know what's wrong with
y'all.
Yeah,
we do history.
Anyway, so listen. Okay, so within the book, it starts with talking about some of the people who God spoke to in the Bible concerning dreams. And okay. one I would really love to point out if I have time, but let me continue. You want me to start with
nope,
that? Okay. So the one that really, really stood out to me was the story with Joseph and Jacob. You remember that? Mm-hmm. When Joseph came to his family, right? And he said, listen here, I had this dream where I was in the field and I was tending to my sheaves. Mm-hmm. And what happened is
all of them bow down
to me, mm-hmm. right? And then here it goes that he came back to them with a second dream. And he said, in this dream, the moon, the stars, and the sun, everything was bowing down to him as well, mm-hmm. right? And so here it is that Jacob, his father, was like, Jacob literally rebuked him. What you talking about, boy? But anybody gonna try come and bow down to you? He run the boy, right?
You smoking that thing in the bush with them boy again, eh?
Oh Lord, I.
That's what you tell him.
And anyway, so he was like eyeing into that. He literally just left him out to say, look here, you need to go. Ignored him, rebuked him, and that was that. But here's the thing. The thing about it is that same dream came into fruition, right? You know the story, mm-hmm. right? His father, his siblings had to bow down to him. But here's the thing. He had to go through a whole process of torture before he got to that point, mm-hmm. right? So what I'm saying to families, those who are under the sound of my voice, is this, parents in particular, when your child comes to you about a particular dream, that was a prophetic destiny dream, by the way. Mm-hmm. When your children come to you about those dreams, don't ignore them. Let me tell you why. If Jacob had said, you know what? Because he did, the Bible said that he pondered the dream, okay? He was thinking about it, but he never said, let me help to cultivate what my child is into. He could have said, God, can you show me what's going on with my son?
There's a need for that, for a parent to say, God, show me.
Of course! Okay. What you mean? Mm-hmm. All right, you want the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and guidance when it comes to your children because we're starting them. You won't just say, okay, we just bring these children in the world and then just neglect them. You don't want to, you deal with them with their academics, you deal with them with athletic stuff or whatever, so you don't want to deal with them with their soul.
So take the dream seriously.
You have to.
I'm still trying to get the steps.
Yes.
So I have this this book, this mm-hmm. journal that you prepared.
Yes.
But my kids can write in.
Yes.
And draw.
Mm-hmm.
And there are verses. What's all?
The book entails a few people that God spoke to mm-hmm. regarding dreams. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you have that at the beginning. I have a few samples of the people in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You have the forward, like I said, from Pastor Kevin. And then you have, okay, one of the questions that...
Let me say, you have the forward from Pastor Kevin, right?
Yes.
And then she addresses parents, right? So she speaks directly to the parents about the book and what it is they're about,
Absolutely.
The process they're about to mm-hmm. begin.
Okay. So this is like an instruction.
Yeah.
And then I also talk about why it's important for us to pray over our dreams as well. Mm-hmm. So I have a few prayers in there that will say, okay, you have some children who will be like, well, mommy, I don't remember my dream.
Yeah,
right? That's a serious thing. We can talk about that. Mm-hmm. But so I have some prayers, very, very short prayers there that just a template, right? Just to say, okay, well, this is what I can teach my daughter or my son to pray regarding, you know, him forgetting what his prayers mean. Mm-hmm. I mean, his dreams are. Go ahead.
Let me say, so like canceling bad dreams.
Yes.
Do you cancel bad dreams?
Yes, you can cancel. Okay. Everything that is done in the natural, here, present, was already established in the spirit. So every single thing.
I know
thing.
When you have like 5, 6, 7 year olds, they always, "Daddy, I had a nightmare."
Mm-hmm.
What happens when that happened?
Well, first of all, let me ask you a question, CA. How many children you have?
Two.
Were they ever coming to you regarding their dreams?
More to their mommy.
But they go because, to their mommy.
Because when they come to me, I kind of dismiss them. Dreambook cartoons, like how your daddy's dreambook cartoons. Geez. You know, you pick your favorite cartoon, and then you create a whole story, and you be straight.
Listen, nightmares derive from the kingdom of hell, the kingdom of darkness, right? Now, scientists believe that that's a point or a time where children try to develop who they are. You know, they may be going through some stress or whatever have you. So it actually, they have their way of saying things. But we all know. Anything that brings or births fear, it's not of God. Mm. So we know automatically that that's where nightmares come from the enemy. Mm. So when you're in a situation where you have a child that comes to you and they talk about, this happened to me, or someone was trying to attack me, or whatever it is that caused their heart to be racing and caused them to have that fear, then you can say, okay, now this is what I do. I pray over my children. I pray over them. I ask them to cancel. So I would say something and they'll repeat. Mm-hmm. They cancel their prayers. I come against whatever it is that they uttered or whatever they remembered in the name of Jesus.
Nuri, you time in the put into bed part?
No.
See, I noticed that my cousin Hannah didn't ask me if I have any children because every night I have to put two.
I come into you too. I answer him. I come into you.
But So like when we used to have to sleep by my grandparent, my grandmother's house, right? She would do prayer. We would have to, it was a process, right? We didn't do prayers by ourselves. She would come in and lead prayers, right? So she would lead prayers. Uh-huh. And I realized as I was older, she was doing some of this with the prayers that she gave us. But like to remind us to ask God for protection. So because I remember one of the first times sleeping there and I was scared. Mm-hmm. I was scared. And she's like, no, it's okay. You can pray to God to protect you while you're sleeping, right? And now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, and right? Mm-hmm. And so I always remember that. And even when I was younger and flying by myself and traveling, I'd say that prayer before I fall asleep on the airplane. Or even as an adult, it brings comfort, right? So Nuri, you wasn't in charge of that part?
No.
You remind me of my husband, right? My husband believed water and tea cure everything, right?
Yeah.
As men, we got to do better, man. Hot tea,
that dream.
That cure everything.
Minty,
I don't cure nothing.
Minty, you don't have to worry about no bad dreams. Just get the minty. But you mentioned bonding. Are there any stories inside the journal that I could read to my child and then go through and say this is what it means or anything?
No, there aren't any stories per se.
I mean, when I say stories, I'm talking biblical stories.
There are biblical references. Mm-hmm. So you can actually, the story where the angel came to Joseph and the angel came to Mary in their dreams. Mm-hmm. God spoke to Samuel while he was asleep. God called Samuel's name while he was asleep. So I have biblical references that you could take your time, get the Bible, get your app, whatever have you, and you read it. Mm-hmm. You spend that time and let them know that God can speak to you as well.
If I had to ask one question and says, why should a Bahamian parent buy this to make sure their child be involved in it?
Mm-hmm.
What would be your response?
Well, for one, you want to have the, before all of that, everything that I said to you just now and more, because we didn't have time to explain everything, is in that book. So as a parent, you're able to articulate properly with them what dreams are, where dreams derive from. You can talk about who gives us these dreams, like I said, where to derive from, and the symbols are there. So certain dreams that dreams are symbolic, right? Dreams are parabolic, right? So let's say a child dreams about a dog, right? Now, in context, symbols have different definitions and meanings. So you have to really say, okay, well, tell me more about your dream. Let me find out exactly what's happening. And then you ask Holy Spirit to help you to interpret it. But I have those symbols there. And every single symbol that I have there, I have biblical references for, right? So here's an opportunity for you to have this book where you can get So you don't have to try fiddle with the prayers. They can read the prayers themselves, for those who are able to read. They can write what they need to write. They can draw what they need to draw. And they can get the symbols within that, you know. So if I have something, okay, like God is going to help me with these. And I can find the biblical references to help me to interpret the dreams that I have. And most importantly, it's a keepsake. You know, you see how thick and pretty the book is. And I'm bragging like that because this is all Holy Spirit. And I'm not getting the glory for it. But it's a beautiful keepsake.
And you're keeping memories, right? Keeping
Absolutely. Memories you stories. Go back to because it has a date there. And can I also share, with as soon as you open up that part of the journal, you'll have the date and then you have some emojis. The emojis are for your children to circle, right? So you had a bad dream. You circle that. You had a funny dream, you circle that. All of these expressions are at each, the beginning of each journal page.
Each journal entry. Mm-hmm. So I was going to say, for parents in particular, it's important to acknowledge that we have sort of forced our kids, our little children, into very adult spaces. Every space is hypersexualized. No longer are we curating spaces specifically for children, right?
That's
and partially because parents are having difficulties managing their lives in that way. There's just so much to do, so little resources, right? Kids are overstimulated on a daily basis with all different types of
YouTube,
stimuli, right?
TikTok.
You know what I don't like? I could be in the bush in the night. I don't have a problem with that. But if it's foggy, if it's fog, I'm scared. You know why? Because when I was five, I was watching Foolishness. And I watched one movie called The Fog.
Oh.
And for the young people, the remake was The Mist. They remade it and they call it The Mist. That movie haunt me.
I can imagine.
Forever. In fact, in the early 2000s, I did a volunteer race. I was in Massachusetts and ended up at Bourne Maritime Academy in a horror movie. I did the whole place just licked down with fog. Right? If I run to my dorm so quick, but it's because of something that I watched as a child that I should not have been watching. I didn't process it properly, right? And it's taken me all of this time as an adult to figure out what that thing is. And so it's not just a tool for spiritual development and personal development, right? Like in the now, but it's a tool for adults so they could look back and say, you know what? I didn't realize. I have it right here in my journal. This is it. This is the thing that's been triggering me this whole time.
That part.
Okay, we're talking to author Trishawn Hanna, who is a children's dream journal. But something's happening on September 20th. And I want to go into detail there. What's happening on September
20th? Absolutely. On September 20th, which is next week, Saturday.
Next week, Saturday.
I'll be doing my book signing, all right?
So I can bring this copy of the book for you.
That particular book, for persons who have already, because I have some people who already purchased the book via Amazon, right?
Okay.
No. They purchased it on themselves, right? And they want to bring it along, right? And then I also have some that will be hopefully on the island this weekend so that if you don't want to wait until Amazon brings it over, you can purchase it there on location. We're going to be a template located on Jerome Avenue. Wonderful place. You ever been in there?
No, where it is on Jerome Avenue? I like Jerome Avenue.
You know where Classy Kids is on the children's store, like a two-story store, two-story building?
Yeah, just north of Scotia.
If you drive in north. Yeah, so Classy Kids is on the left, and then template is on the right. Man, everything in there. Everything, gift selections, they have kitchen
accessories,
all these different things are in there. It's just absolutely beautiful.
So this is we curating our lives.
Everything
from
is
our,
there.
From our homes to our spiritual lives.
Every single thing.
All right.
So
they
you
have
said
books.
Next week Saturday?
Next week Saturday at 2 p.m. We're going to be there. We're going to have things for the kids, little cotton candy, popcorn, etc. There's also going to be some t-shirts. Y'all see my shirt?
Oh, I like your shirt.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It says, I am a dreamer.
How much money I need to bring with me to buy that?
The shirts by itself is $25.
I like the shirt.
The book by itself is $25. But if you get the combo, it's $40. So you save that little $10.
She might as well tell me it was free.
And that's your lunch.
So the book is $25.
Yes.
Okay, and you'll be selling the book on next week, Saturday.
Next week,
not this Saturday, but next week, Saturday. But you also have this beautiful shirt.
Right.
And that's $25.
That's also $25.
But if you want to get the combo.
Right.
I like combos.
Yes.
Right. I can get discount. $40. I can hold $10 off.
Yeah, I can take care of all the taxes, all the shipping fees, all that. That's me. That's my gift from me to you, you know?
But if, say, I want my book now, or I'm not going to be present at this signing, this book launch, this signing next week, Saturday, where else can I purchase this
at
book?
At the moment, on Amazon.
Amazon. Right? When I go on Amazon, what do I search to find?
You search The Children's Dream Journal by Trishon Hannah. TRISHONHANNA. That's, people had my book before I had my book. People purchased the book. I ain't gonna call the shipping company name, but he was a little late.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I got it.
So very quick, why are you discriminating though?
But with what?
With children. So you said you're doing the children and then you're doing the teen, young adults.
Yes.
Paramount.
Well,
Paramount. But what about us adults?
That's what I'm saying. I haven't gotten the release yet for the adults, but let me just stick with the children. But guess what? Believe it or not, you could learn from even the children's book, and the way that I'm doing things for the teenagers as well is just wonderful. And I can't wait to share that. But for now, that's what I'm working on until that time comes.
Absolutely. So when the teen book, so when the book for older young people is released, will you have a team of youth counselors, right, that are prepared to work with any groups of teens? So, say, as a church youth project.
That's part of the plan.
Yeah, awesome.
That's a part of the plan. Because we want to teach about dreams. And just to give you a little insight on it, you ever heard about incubus and succubus spirits?
Yes.
You know what that is?
No, Aaron? Because I...
You know what
one
I'm
is
saying?
Male and one is female.
You know what I'm let saying? Me off the side porch. I don't interrupt.
Listen, no, they go in your dreams.
That's,
they come and do you, the little
I
something
had
there.
Succubus had me on the grappling.
My God. Story.
I had to pray that out.
Miss Anna, I'm telling you. So that's what we're working on. Because I made a little preview. I got my first little top when I was, I was 12 or 13. Man, I was in we were living with my grandparents, my grandmother and my aunt. My mom and I were in the same bed. We slept in the same bed for 14 years. So here it is that I had my first sexual encounter in my dreams. And I gyrating in a dream. My mommy's sitting up watching TBN. Okay? Yes. Look at Aaron's face. I'm telling you.
I'm back to talk just about that.
I'm telling you. So I said, listen. And as I was just still with this, you know, God said, go. I release you to go ahead and do the ones with teenage.
Before you go, remind us when the book signing again is.
The book signing is next week, Saturday.
At Template.
At 2 p.m. at Template. But just before we go as well, can I just mention my sponsors real quick?
Yes, you do.
Okay, now these people doing baked things. My sponsors, of course, Template. We have CT Management who've been, taking care of everything pertaining to this launch. They've been doing it. They're doing all the marketing, etc. Kudos to my team. Bahama Arts and Ann's Party Supplies. They're supplying all the balloons and all this. Man, it could be pretty, pretty, pretty. You can feel like you're walking in some
storyline,
right? And then we have Big Party World, who's the person preparing and decorating those stuff for me. We get little snacks for the children. Like again, we have little games can be there. You have an opportunity to purchase the prophetic t-shirt, because this one is another one. And you get an opportunity to get
how
your
to
book.
Call you? Give me your phone number, man.
I want to
social
stalkers
media,
calling me.
Social media.
Right? So thank you. The social media. You can go on Job 33. That's where you'll see some of the t-shirts there. Job 3314 Dreamwear. Or you can also look up Coach Trish Hannah on Facebook. And it's also on Instagram. So Coach Trish Hannah on Instagram. Job 3314 Dreamwear on Instagram as well.
I want to thank you, Trishon.
Aaron, where you going? She's looking like she want to ask another question.
I don't know why y'all don't.
Why y'all doing Aaron like this?
Come on, quickly.
What you have to say?
We gotta go to break.
I can tell you what I tell the police.
Why?
I be sleeping while I dreaming. I don't know what happening.
I can talk about
the succubus. Why you asking me what I
dream?
What you asking me about?
I can talk about it off here.
You don't want to fool with them things.
Oh,
ain't nothing to play with.
This put you to sleep. Anyway, this has been Guardian. If we go to break, Guardian Radio AM. Thank you very much, Arthur, Trishon, Hannah. Buy her book, Children's Dream Journal. Of course, they're having that book signing next week, Saturday.
Yes.
At Template, right?
Yes,
at
Jerome Template. Avenue, 2 p.m.
2 p.m.
Bring $50, because you might find something in Template you like for $10.
Yes, bring your $50 one time.
One
Get all kind of things.
And you
get
your little something for the children. Everything there for the children.
Yes,
all right? Bring your children. Don't just come with your hands ringing. Bring the children.
Bring the child.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist is there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Nothing beats a Chick Charney challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chick Charney Lite version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chick Charney Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit chickcharneychallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Art of Graphics.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I'm very excited to have our cousin Trishawn Hanna here. I wish her good luck with her book signing, a book launch, which is happening next week at Template, which is on Jerome Avenue. But I want to continue our conversation about yesterday, right? Yesterday we were talking about there were police who were detaining or being people who were selling wares, the street vendors from the side of the road said, no, it's illegal to sell. Wares.
Without a permit. Yeah, without a vendor's permit.
And there were a number of people who said, man, I need to continue this conversation because there are immigrants who are selling and it seems as if they were targeting Bahamians. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to conclude that discussion, right, in terms of to remind the Bahamian public is there's a system. And I understand that sometimes you get some sort of frustration, especially if you're a working class person and you try to get on the hustle to make your money. Mm-hmm. Right? But we now need to educate our people, right? That the process of how you can get
how to go about setting up a stall in a public space, right? And so
Perhaps we need to invite some people on, some the authorities on it, to explain what it is.
Without a doubt, I had to go through the process. I wanted to set up a stall at Montague Ramp or on the beach, right? And it's relatively simple. Mm-hmm. The reason we didn't was just that after talking to some vendors, they were basically like, hey, we hustling for space out here right now, and we feel like you have a degree of privilege that will enable you to figure it out. Like, you don't need this space to survive. And mm-hmm. we hustling out here, so we decided to operate differently. But to sell in a public space, at the time that we did it, you have to get a vendor's permit.
A vendor's permit.
Right, and the one that we were told we would need to get is a temporary vendor's permit, or at least the permit is like it's temporary in nature, in the sense that when you set up your stall at the end of your business day, you must remove yourself entirely.
Yeah.
All of your goods. So if you set up a booth, all of the things that constitute the booth you have to use to hold the tent down, are you using at the end of the business day, you have to remove them. They technically, they should be your own rocks that you bring, but if they are part of the landscape, then at the end of the day, you must return them to where you found them, right?
What else do you need?
So you go, I can't remember exactly where you go, but a part of the process is the police is supposed to, or an agent of the state is supposed to inspect the space that you want to operate in to determine whether you're going to obstruct the existing flow of commerce and traffic and people, right? So, for instance, you can't just set up your hot dog stall in a place that will disrupt traffic because there's no parking lot nearby. Yeah. There's no space for your customers to park their vehicles in, so they end up obstructing the sidewalk.
And this was the issue with the people on the highway who was...
Which highway?
The Prince Charles by the mall, where the police always every so often say, y'all got to move.
Hold on. Marathon, Prince Charles Marathon Mall?
Yes, Marathon Mall. That go back and forth, left and right, the T-junctions issue area. Yeah, the police always telling people they're going to move on.
The T-junction issue. So you're talking about the John Bull side? Robinson Road side?
No. The highway side where the rock, that's roundabout? No, where the traffic light is, that area.
Where Marathon meets Prince Charles?
Yes.
So the Rastaman them...
Have flowers on the next side that you are blocking traffic somehow.
Okay, so that's a slightly different issue, right? They are... Those people are aligning with the spirit of the permit, which is at the end of the day, you're gone and nobody knows that you're there. So they're technically satisfying that element. That's a different, there's a different issue that arises with vendors who are peddling on the sidewalk and in the road. They're standing in the road.
I assume we have a call, but what about the people who are targeting, who are soliciting children? That's their primary customer. And the number of stalls where people are opening their trunks, their back trunks to sell food items to kids across the street to the school.
Okay, that should not happen. Here's why. Because it's a school, the kid's supposed to be contained inside the school for the entirety of the day. If there's food to be purchased, those vendors should be vetted and authorized by the Ministry of Education. There should be a space made available on the school campus or on an immediate outside external boundary.
But honey buns and snacks, cookies. I already sell them when they go into school and they need some snacks, you get one honey bun.
No, there should be regulations. There are approved vendors authorized by the ministry that either sell on campus proximity, and then all other vendors should be restricted. There should be a proximity, a distance scoped out around the school, and nobody should be allowed to sell anything from their car. Because what happens if the boy them selling the cannabis-infused honey bun in the same spot, right? Like, either we... See... We only think about it when we punishing them. Oh, they're criminals. But we don't ever think about it when we're supposed to be protecting them. Yeah. Or they're children.
Yeah.
Right? And so, no, there should be authorized vendors. We can get back to it.
Yeah, no, I enjoy what you're saying. Let me go to this caller here so we can engage them. Go ahead, caller. That didn't really hear.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Good morning.
Okay. I want to make a contribution to this. And at the end of my conversation, pertaining to that, I'd like to offer a solution. Now, I agree with some of the persons who said that they feel like Bahamians are being targeted, because I went out there to try see if a lot of vendors popping up, you know, and I didn't understand why. So what I went to the extent to the police station, and from what they told me, they said that as long as persons has a permit, I was concerned about Carmichael Road at that time, and they were saying that as long as persons have a permit, they are entitled to be there. So what I said in response to that was that who was responsible for giving these permits out? And I think this is where our problem lies. I think it was Lance and Parkey. I could be corrected.
Survey or Beaches and Parks?
Beaches and Parks. I think that's what they said.
They may have transferred it to the authority. That would make sense, I think.
Yeah, well, I said that persons who are responsible for giving out the permits are persons who, because the police are telling me that their hands were tied and that when they went out there to stop these persons from selling, because, you know, it has been a proliferation of persons on the street vendors. And I know everybody trying to get their hustle on. And also, I want to say I was in disagreement with the former prime minister when they spoke about giving people access, give the cocaine vendors an umbrella and let them be out there, you know, to make a living.
That was just rhetoric. Hold on. What I mean is that we didn't see any laws entrenched. We didn't see any policies.
No laws, but,
it was
but
just
I,
talk.
So I, but even up to date, if you go on Glaston Road, Tarifa, and other places, you will see a lot of that taking place. And the sad thing about it, I went on Facebook, I put a post out there concerning, and a video concerning persons who are actually littering about the places after they leave the coconut shells and whatnot on the street.
All right, so
it's an eyesore. So let me get to the last part before you cut me out.
No, but I'm not going to cut you. Hold on, Uncle, I'm not going to cut you. Let's talk.
Okay.
I'm not going to cut you. Let's talk. Let's make some distinctions, right? The situation, the scenario that Mr. Newry was describing, where vendors are on the medians and the sidewalks between in the area of Marathon, Prince Charles, and the East West Highway, right? Those people appear to be satisfying the essential, like the spirit of the temporary vendor's permit, right? The problem with those vendors, it's that they cannot sell their wares in the middle of the road. You cannot stand in the middle of the road and sell things. It's a traffic and it's a safety issue. It's not a matter of they should not have been given a permit, mind you, if they're gonna sell their wares. You gonna stand in the middle of the road and sell your wares. And if you selling on the side of the road, you may be fast, but your customers are not fast. See, your customers are the problem. You ready to snatch the money, but they ain't got the money. They are obstructing the flow of traffic. And so those are likely the reasons why the vendors from that specific area have been removed. Now, when we go to areas like Cowpen and Carmichael, right? At Cowpen, they did the massive sidewalk exercise. And so now you have about 4 foot of sidewalk, right? On the southern side of the road. If there's a vendor on the sidewalk, then that's a public space. But if the vendor is set up on the inside of the sidewalk, and if it's private property, then they have permission from the owner of the property to set up their stall there, right?
Right.
Now, when we go to like Carmichael Road, I've seen more and more vendors setting up in Carmichael Road as you head in east and approaching Golden Gates Assembly, right? Well, that medium.
Okay. Here's the thing, Aaron. When a person decides to put up a structure, changes.
Exactly, because your permit is supposed to be temporary.
Up, permission from the Ministry of Work to put up a structure, I think it's based on the size and the fact that the structure has a roof. While I'm on this conversation, I want to mention that I see the proliferation of a lot of buildings going up right there by Bacardi, Carmichael and Bacardi Road, because I'm a person who takes notice of what's going on in my constituency and my in close proximity to me.
I only speed you up because I get a couple more calls.
I try to reach out to Juan Miller, to the Honorable Juan Miller, to find out from him what was going on. Why are those structures, why do I have to see that eyesore every time I drive down Carmichael Road? And then the add insult to injuries, some persons were given permit to some land on Carmichael Road there, and the type of fencing they use to establish their boundaries, they're using these, what do you call them, the crates, what they use at the dock?
Pallets?
So they use the pallets, right. And it's the eyesore. You know, I mean, on the main road, Carmichael Road, that, to me, it's an eyesore. I mean, if they put the proper, what I would call, well, who are the persons who regulate that? I would blame them, because no way you should, on a main road, you should have those kind of structures and those kind of things right to the road there. I mean, it's an eyesore. And then my solution to all of this, this vendor situation, and I spoke to Desmond.
Uncle, I got to speed you up. I got three more callers.
I can conclude right now. I spoke to the Honorable Desmond Bankster about this some years ago. And I said, what they need to do is have a spot designated for all vendors. So whenever they identify a piece of land, whatever you want to sell, all these vendors or whoever else, whatever you want to sell, we just go to that particular location. Mm. The government charge them a tax, a fee to be there, and we buy whatever we need there, whether it be jewelry, food, or anything else. I'll conclude by saying that. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate your call. Let's quickly go through all of these people who are waiting on the call. Go ahead, call them. I'm giving everyone about 30, 40 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi, Aaron again. Very quickly here. Just a hinge on something the previous caller said. That was something that many Bahamians had called for quite some time. It reminds you of the flea market type setup where persons are all set in one particular location and the proliferation of these persons off the street. And just direct everything to one location, that would help. The biggest thing what I really call for, though, is the cognate vendors on the side of the street.
Why you call them that? Why y'all call them that? Y'all legitimizing them.
Well, let's put it like, I guess that's the easier way we can identify the individuals, okay? But anyway, to make it fast. You know, after they would have taken the product out and they would take the rest of the cognate and just toss it on the side, like right now on Tonic Dallin Highway, it's an eyesore.
Harold Road on the west, right, on the western
so
end.
So
where all the taxis is coming with tourists. Yeah. Right. It's disgusting. So, I got you, Jeff. It's disgusting. And it's not just disgusting that it's an eyesore. It's a public health and safety hazard. Right, uh-huh. Because you draw in rats with all the food waste there. But it's disgusting because of all of the money that goes to waste. Last year's Agribusiness Expo, they had the coconut machine where they could make 52 different products from the coconut. 52 different products. And every day we have to drive up and down this place and watch fools leave their trash in a space.
Right there.
The fools refuse to enforce the law.
Uh-huh.
And then we watch the other fools with the money invest their money in foolishness as opposed to somebody buying a coconut machine and 100 mulches.
It's
disgusting.
You hit the nail right on the head, what I was about to say. I can't understand why there's no participation between the fellas them who are dealing with the coconuts and these manufacturers, for instance, who would come and actually take the coconut, take the shell out of the coconut, make some jewelry or make some out of it, and then the husk and everything could be used for mulch and all this stuff. Why do we have to leave the eyesore right there? I mean, there has to be some type of collaboration between the groupings. So this thing that we are experiencing now become null and void. It's just an eyesore in closing. Just to see these coconuts all over the place, all over in the bush and everything, and then when the heap is there, the bush can't hide
Jeff,
it anymore.
Jeff, I gotta go.
Let's squeeze in this next caller. Go ahead, caller.
good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You're trying to fit in.
Wonderful, wonderful. My quick question, on top of the hill there, on by the government house, now that you're speaking about one who may have permit and who may not have permit, I never understood why those individuals would have been allowed to sell their wares right there at the median. First and foremost, there's a fire hydrant there. And then secondly, if you notice in the last week or so, that light was off.
Yeah.
So when one now trying to merge to get down to go to Bay Street, you have to basically put your vehicle in harm's way.
The entities, the entities on the median constitute a hazard, a traffic hazard. Yeah, it's just madness.
Yeah, I never understood that. That is, anyway, that's my contribution.
Oh, yeah, and just a reminder, RBPF, the light's still out at Cumberland Hill and Blue Hill Road by the government house. And yesterday, the light was out at East Street and Bay Street. Come on, just put officers there to direct traffic. How hard is that? You know, it's also very upsetting that so you drive around and you see the waste, right, of these so-called coconut boys, the coconut vendors. And then you have to turn around and watch video after video, unless you've encountered it yourself, with people who just walk in your yard and take your things and then threaten to hurt you because you would dare to express that you have property boundaries and they are trespassing. Like that's the state that we're living in. The police are actively watching some of these vendors refuse to discard of their waste. And when they do discard of it, they come into your community, like into Glengariff Gardens subdivision, just empty lots, right?
Let me see if I can squeeze these other two in also, Aaron.
No problem.
you're going? Good. So let's go. The last 2 minutes, Aaron. We understand that behemoths are on a hustle. Things rough. Right, but there are avenues that you can do it decently. Right, you've gone through your process in terms of what all the permits you had to apply for. We just need the behemoths to be aware of how to apply
for it. Or more importantly, stop saying, "Well, the other people doing it illegally, so I'm gonna do it illegally in my own country. That's my right." Mm. No, you have an obligation to fix it. Mm-hmm. That's what your right is. You have an obligation to fix it. That's almost as disgusting as what we have to bear with the coconut situation. What you mean you're a big grown adult in your own country saying, "Well, the illegals, the Haitians, they breaking the law, so I shall break the law too." What type of Christians are that? What type of example y'all setting for children? Oh, you can't see? They running the red lights, so I can run the red light too.
It's now 12 o'clock. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. How you doing, April? Have a good day.